stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
Welcome to Administrative Static. Chenoweth and I are here as usual, but we don't have a usual program because we were fortunate enough to be at the Supreme Court Monday on March 18th for oral argument.
John was in the front row.
On behalf of our clients in Murphy v. Missouri. And we represent the individuals, Jada Bhattacharya, Martin Kohldorf, Aaron Carradine, and Jill Hines. All but Martin were there as well. And just pro tip, here's how you get to be in the front row if you're a lawyer and you didn't go to the argument table.
Step one, don't be a client because they get to sit in the back.
Yeah, exactly. But I'll just tell you is that don't wear any coats, hats, and leave your cell phone in your car so that you can, when everyone's shuffled off to the lockers, go straight in. Anyway, so, but it was an interesting day. The Solicitor General of Louisiana, Ben Aganaga, argued the case.
Brian Fletcher, the principal deputy Solicitor General for the U.S.
on the
opposite side.
And since they lost below, he started. And it was a little bit of whiplash, I thought, Mark, because he started saying, under no circumstances can the federal government coerce anybody into silencing anybody's speech. And that's not what happened here. Well, the whole record says that's what happened here. But he was so adamant that would be an outrage.
And he came back to that theme later saying, if this had really happened, this would be completely unacceptable. And, if that's what the Solicitor General thinks, and the court thinks that there isn't enough in this 20,000 page record to substantiate that happened, send it back for more discovery. Let us have the rest of it.
Yeah.
Because there's ample evidence that that's exactly what happened in this case.
He received, I think, a lot lighter treatment than I expected, but he was pressed, I think, on this issue of coercion and significant entanglement. They did ask him about the amount of times and about, I think it was whether or not what was going on here and how would he characterize it? What struck you?
Well, the questions that were asked to him? Mostly I was struck by the apparent willingness of most of the justices to treat fairly coercive behavior on the part of the government as mere persuasion. And I'm thinking of Justice Kagan, and maybe this wasn't asked of Fletcher, maybe this was asked of Aganaga.
Yeah.
It didn't seem to, every example you pointed to of coercion, it was kind of like, eh.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that, and that was the Solicitor General's theme. And he's very glib. He's very good. And he's very smooth, but.
He opposed us in the Garland v. Cargill case too.
Exactly. And his mother was in the gallery.
Oh, that's right. She sat next to one of our attorneys, right?
And so so he had to be good for her. And in any event.
She should be very proud.
Very proud.
Young boy from Iowa.
So in any event, but he did, he just stuck to it that, these were just requests. And maybe there was some harsh language. Now, you got to understand, in the discovery, there is just profanity and screaming. It's not quite all caps, but it's all caps, if you understand.
It would have been, if it had been an email, it would have been all caps.
Exactly. So they are very upset with him.
Let's just say that I suspect the people on the receiving end of these phone calls were holding the phone away from their ear.
Yes. And Justice Barrett asked a question that really bothered me of the Solicitor General, but not of Ben, which I'm Ben Aguinaga. And it really bothered me because as I looked at the transcript again, I couldn't believe it. But there is Rob Flaherty had already browbeaten the social media companies into changing their algorithm, the algo, to block what they consider to be anti-vax or vax hesitancy
content
on the social media.
Yeah.
And what happened is, and is that I thought that what it was that part of the algo was when you mentioned vaccines too often, they assumed you were some kind of crank and threw you into the dustbin. And but I understand that it was actually when Johnson & Johnson got paused. And I'll check this, but when Johnson & Johnson got paused, Joe Biden's Twitter link tweeted that out.
Suggesting that there was a problem with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Yeah. So he got
caught by the algorithm.
He got thrown in Twitter, Facebook jail. And so Rob Flaherty calls up and yells and screams, "What? I can't believe that. You get him back on right now." They've been caught in the censorship trap that they set up. And I don't think Justice Barrett understood that. She seemed to say that, well, I can see if his own, you know, if they're calling about the president's own social media line, they're allowed to do that. That's nothing. That's not really censorship. They're trying to get their stuff back on. But what it shows is the absolute control of the government, of the algorithm, and of the social media, because they can throw our clients off, Jill Hines and Bhattacharya, and if they discuss the Johnson & Johnson rollout, they're all going to be censored. But Joe Biden can just call up and say, "Put me back on, but you be sure to keep all those other people off." That is a very important piece of
critical evidence.
Critical evidence. And if someone as smart as Barrett isn't getting this, because maybe the record is just too large. I mean, it is something.
You know, I do think the large record was a problem here, and I think, you know, typically in these appellate arguments, you have, you know, you get a half an hour, you get a half an hour.
Discreet. Kind of,
but on these points, you really need a little more back and forth with that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you would implement that in practice, but giving one side a big chunk of time and the other side a big chunk of time where they're not asked the same questions, there's really no opportunity to put some of those misunderstandings to bed.
Because they didn't ask our guy that.
Right.
I didn't ask the Louisiana SG that. And so I was sitting there going, does she really think that? And so it's something. And
well, you're absolutely right, John. So what it shows is the breadth of the algorithm, how much it, I mean, not only does it trap, you know, all of our clients' speech, even traps the president's speech, because that's how broadly it's set.
Yeah.
And it shows that when the president wants to get out of jail, all he has to do is call.
Correct.
And get out of jail. Our guys don't have that option.
That's right. And so
even though what our guys was saying was truthful.
That is correct. And well, what he said about Johnson & Johnson was truthful, but he had set the censorship machine on censor, not find out if it's true or not. So I think that was pretty good. But, pretty interesting. I did think that Justice Alito asked.
I just want to say this about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. They had equal information that there were problems with the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine to what they found with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And the fact that they pulled the trigger to pause it and they didn't pull the trigger to pause the other two, it does raise some questions. I'm not saying that what they said about Johnson & Johnson was untrue, but I don't think that's the full story. I'll just put it that way.
So the other thing that happened is that Justice Alito obviously has the bit between his teeth on this, because he did give the U.S. Solicitor General. When there's dueling solicitor generals, it becomes difficult. But
that's right.
The U.S. Solicitor General.
Ben and Brian.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, well, wait a minute here. Do you really mean to say that these calls from the FBI and he actually went through what the indicia of coercion are. And I think for all the questions, they were too much into coercion. Now, we won on coercion. I think there was coercion. But until they didn't really ask him about significant entanglement. I don't recall him. I'll have to look at the transcript again. But I don't really remember them asking him significant entanglement. I only remember one response by him on that it really has to be almost complete control or something like this. So this significant entanglement, you know.
I can tell you the word entanglement appears exactly one time in the transcript.
Huh. So what's happening here is that the jurisprudence of the Supreme Court is such that, you know, we didn't make up these words. they're all from their case law. So they say coercion and significant entanglement. Now, we believe, obviously, and we'll get to this when we discuss the questions of our side, that any of them match. We would think that any of them, this what happened here meets any test is basically the story. And the other thing that
Can I just come back to you on the entanglement thing? Because where it popped up wasn't a question to Mr. Fletcher in his opening from Justice Kavanaugh. And he said, just so I understand, your key legal argument is, I think, but correct me if I'm wrong, that coercion does not encompass significant encouragement or entanglement, and that it would be a mistake to so conclude because traditional everyday communications would suddenly be deemed problematic. And then Fletcher says, exactly right, and, you know, gives a longer answer.
Right. And I,
that's the only place it comes up.
And I think that it's more than that, significant entanglement. Now, I will tell you this. So our position is that the Constitution says don't abridge free speech. So even if they call you one time and say, take that thing down, I think it's false, or I don't think it's a good idea. We don't think it should be on your website. We think that's abridging speech and the government doesn't have that power. But let's say the Supreme Court thinks that that's too much. That'll cause too much litigation. They still have said significant entanglement. And what that means, it strikes me, is just what I said about the Biden thing. They can get everything taken down and then they can get themselves put back on. That's almost complete control.
Well, how about this? The fact that you have set up portals special for the government to register its complaints, that's not entanglement. That's definitely entanglement.
Significant.
Significant encouragement.
Significant encouragement. That's true.
But I think it's entanglement. I mean, to set up portals for the government to have special access to ask for things to be taken down, that alone is enough, I would think, to meet that standard.
But we'll do another segment on this one. But I will say this, as far as significant encouragement, every day. They're talking to them, one administrative agency or the other was going there every day. We'll be back to talk about more.